This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Adrienne Hill. Today, we're wrapping up our series about personal finance basics with one of the most important money relationships you have. It takes maintenance, self-awareness, and self-control. It's your life with credit and debt. We turned to social media this week and asked people to tell us about their first credit cards. Remember yours?
My name is May. I'm a Marketplace Money listener in Asheville, North Carolina. I got my first credit card in 2006 when I was a freshman in college. The first week of school, a bunch of the restaurants on campus had booths outside advertising free food, and all you had to do was sign up for a credit card to get like a free burrito or a free sandwich. When I graduated college, I had $14,000 in credit card debt. Hopefully it wasn't all burritos. I paid it off maybe a few months after I graduated when I got my first job. So I actually keep it in a block of ice in my freezer so that there's at least a barrier between the credit card and myself.
Sometimes, like May, you need to set a barrier between your credit card and spending. This hour, we're focusing on what you need to know about credit and debt, how you can make your own choices when it comes to building or rebuilding a credit history, or picking the right card that aligns with your spending habits. To start our journey, we have to talk about a number, your credit score. John Oldsheimer is the president of consumer education at smartcredit.com and the credit blogger for Mint.com. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. My pleasure.
So first off, where do credit scores come from? What's it boil down to? I mean, when they're coming up with a credit score, what's it really tell you about me?
Well, the credit score was designed to predict the likelihood of somebody going delinquent on a loan 24 months after they have actually applied for the loan.
Okay.
It's an assessment of the risk for a lender to do business with you. So they use these scores to determine whether or not A, they really want to do business with you, and B, under what sort of terms they want to do business with you.
And why are there multiple credit reporting agencies? Why don't I just have one score?
You actually have hundreds of scores. And the reason you have hundreds of scores, think of scoring models like software. And every couple of years, software is redesigned, redeveloped. There are competitors in the market that have their suite of products. And credit scoring models are really not that different from that. So that's what you end up with. You have 50-plus versions of a FICO score, which is the industry standard.
That's amazing. And so how should I know which ones do people take seriously? Which ones matter?
Yeah, and you're really chasing your tail with that one because it depends on the lender you ask, the product that you're applying for, and really where the consumer lives.
Now, one of the questions we got from our listeners was that they looked at, I think, their Equifax and TransUnion scores and had, I think, 30 to 60 points difference in those scores. And I wonder how much does sort of that 10, 50 even point difference really matter?
In my 21 years in this business, I've never actually seen a consumer have three identical credit reports across the three credit reporting agencies.
The unicorn of the credit world.
There you go. I mean, the difference in score is important only if it transcends what I would call good and bad, meaning that if you have really good credit, you're going to have a really good credit score pretty much anywhere you apply. The difference is minor. You know, if you're an 800 at one credit bureau and 810 at another credit bureau, that's not a big deal. Where it does become a big deal is if you have something negative on a credit report at one credit reporting agency that's not on another credit reporting agency, and then you can have huge disparities in scores, which can be problematic.
What's a good credit score? What's an average credit score? And what's the kind of credit score you don't want to have?
A good credit score is any credit score that is high enough that the lender is going to approve you at their best terms. In today's environment, that score seems to be in the 750 to 780 range.
Okay.
If you have 750 to 780 or even higher, there is no credit crunch for you. You're really in the sweet spot. If you're in the 680 to 750 range, you're likely going to get approved. You
mm-hmm.
may not get the best deal that the lender's offering, but you're likely going to get approved. Anything below 680, you're really rolling the dice. Anything below 600, it's highly unlikely you're going to get approved. And if you do get approved, you're going to be paying some pretty punishing interest rates.
I want to ask you another question we got from one of our listeners. They wrote into our website, marketplacemoney.org, and the woman's name is Christy. She said, I just paid a credit card bill late, very late, for the first time in 10 years. How do I overcome the ding in my credit score?
It's going to depend on how late very late is. Believe it or not, the credit reporting environment has a standard that's pretty consumer friendly. And that standard is this, that in order for a late payment to be reported to the credit reporting agencies, you have to be a full 30 days past your due date.
Okay.
So if she was just a week late or even 2 weeks or 3 weeks late, believe it or not, she's fine as long as she ended up making the payment before she was 1 month past due. Now, if she was 1 month past due, or unfortunately she was several cycles past due, then that's going to be a problem, because late payments and most derogatory information stays on a credit report, get this, for 7 years.
Wow.
That late payment is likely going to have some negative impact on her score the entire time. Certainly as it gets older, the impact is going to drop and lessen, and her score is going to improve organically as long as she doesn't do that again. She can help to expedite the recovery in her score by A, making sure that payment is eventually cured, which means it's back to paid as agreed,
mm-hmm.
and B, doing some of the other little things that are smart to do with respect to credit management, like keeping your credit card balances very low relative to your limits, not applying for credit unless you absolutely need to do so, and then most important is don't do that again, because credit scores look for patterns, and if you're late and it's atypical, that's one thing. If you're late and it's a pattern, that's another thing. And of course, that's not good.
If you want to keep a good credit score, but you look at your monthly bills and you've just got to be late on one bill, is there a bill that's better to be late on?
Well, certainly it's not good to be late on anything.
Right.
But if you have to choose the bill to be late on, think of the loan or the credit card bill that you're looking at. If you're late on a mortgage, you're likely several hundred dollars, maybe even thousands of dollars past due as soon as you're late.
Right.
Same thing with an auto loan. It's a large amount of money that you owe them every single month. And by even missing 1 or 2 months of payments, you're finding yourself in a massive amount of delinquent debt. Credit card, not so much. Minimum payment is usually about 2% of the outstanding balance. And so your minimum payment may only be $50, $75. So you're not getting yourself into a huge amount of past due debt. Still, we're talking about the lesser of many evils here. So
don't do it.
Don't do any of them. And also, you know, if you start missing payments on a mortgage or a car, they're eventually going to come and take the asset away from you. Again, while it's not a great thing to do, I think you'd have to put credit card at the bottom of the totem pole as far as what gets paid if you find yourself in a bad situation.
John Oldtimer is the president of consumer education at smartcredit.com. Thanks so much.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.